Lip smacking good. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lip Smacking Good. Well, the motto of this show is if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. Today, I have a special guest with me, Chris from the Insanity Check podcast. For those of you who have not heard it and you're premium, you need to get a life. But most of you should know who Chris is. But for those that don't, introduce yourself, Chris.
I'm Chris. We do the Insanity Check podcast, and it's on movietrailerreviews.net. We also do movie reviews, and the Insanity Check is basically whatever topics come up. It's actually funny that I'm on here with you, Karen, which Rod and Karen are two of my favorite people when it comes to podcasts and just in general on the internet. I'm actually going to have Rod and Karen on for tomorrow's show for the Insanity Check, and the topics for the last 3 weeks have been my online dating life, and it's actually been pretty hilarious, so definitely check us out. Insanity Check on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and movietrailerreviews.net to get the shows on the website. But yeah, my online dating life has been kind of interesting, to say the least.
It's been interesting, y'all, and it's been a fun ride as an audience member to sit back and listen. And some of you guys have interacted with Chris to let him know, male and female, to let him know that you guys have some of the same problems and some of the same issues with the profiling and things like that. And when it comes to the online dating profiles, do they have like foods that people eat in there, or is it just a general profile? Because I've never been on one of those sites before.
You know, sometimes people do have, because there's a section on OkCupid where you can put like, you know, things you like, and some people do put the foods they like, you know. So some people are like, you know, I like Italian food or things like that. And it also, you can specify what your diet is like. So vegan, vegetarian, you know, you eat anything, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's always funny when I come across somebody who's a vegan and vegetarian, I get kind of like, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Are you one of those kind of vegetarians or vegans? Because, you know, some of them are cool. But them vegan and vegetarian Nazis that are just like, I can't be around meat eaters at all. I can't be with those people, you know. So
yes, and is there anybody that ever gets like ridiculous? But like, look, I just eat fattening shit. Fuck it. Or I just love food. Have you ever read any of them that was just so crazy? You was like, oh my god, what the hell are you eating?
Yeah, there's I've seen when it comes to eating anything, it's fine. Like I actually tend. Cause we're gonna talk about my diet and things like that. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm in shape and I fight and I do all this other stuff. When I'm not trying to train, my diet is actually pretty bad. So I tend to gravitate to the people that also have weaknesses for things like, you like cake or you like sugary stuff. Those are my kind of people because I trust those people. I do not trust a person who cannot appreciate a good steak or, you know, candy or things like that. I can't trust you. You know, we all should eat right. I get that. But when people are just like, oh, well, yeah, you know, I gave up sugars and, you know, 10 years ago, haven't looked back, or I gave up red meat and I just can't trust you. It's kind of scare me a little bit. It's like, you know, red meat is delicious.
Isn't it though?
It is. Yeah. It's just. Yeah, I might have to get a steak after we're done with this because I haven't had a good steak yet. So,
what is your favorite cut of steak?
You know, anything. To tell you, I don't really have a favorite cut. That's the weirdest thing. I don't. Like, when I go, it just depends. You know, if I'm like, I like to go to Wegmans, and Wegmans always has. Like, if you don't have a Wegmans near you, you're not living. And I didn't understand this until we got Wegmans, and I understood how great it is. Like, you go past their department, and they just have these cuts of steak that just look so good. And actually, my favorite red meat is actually lamb. I'm just a sucker for that.
Yes, sir.
I love lamb. I will. Yeah, it's delicious. So when people say, you know, I can't eat red, you know, the people with the strict diets are the ones that scare me the most. It's just like, well, I can't eat anything. Or there's some weird vegans that don't eat any kind. The vegans are the weirdest ones. They're like, well, I don't eat anything that comes from an animal or something like that. I'm like, but that's everything that's good.
Right. And then when it comes to vegan, they have different levels of veganism. Some people go, well, I'm a vegan, but I don't eat eggs or anything that comes from a chicken. Or I don't. You'd be like, you know what? That sounds like a very, very complicated life. And when you were talking about lambs, not too long ago, My mama, I love my mama. You know, I love old people because old people still got deep freezers. You know, young folks don't have deep freezers. You know, we don't believe in that. But my mama, she has deep freezers. So she ended up having some lamb shanks. I did not know what the fuck a lamb shank was. She was like, I got some lamb shanks. I looked at her sideways. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Listen, there's two things. First of all, vegans, I put on the same level as Scientologists. Cause they got that different level to their shit. And so like, so there's levels to veganism. There's levels of Scientology. Like it's the same kind of weird religion with vegans. I just don't trust them.
Well, they got the $5 level, the $10 level, $15, $20. It's like how much, because truthfully it's very, with something some people have a tendency of, it's very, very expensive. I can't speak, you know, I guess it must depend on what part of the country you are, but if you are really gun ho trying to go full fledged, you will spend your fucking paycheck going into one of those whole food, extra healthy places. Mm. You'll be like, God damn, this shit is high.
And you're not getting anything from it. That's the weirdest thing. Sometimes you do, but most times you're fine. You're not going to die by eating non-organic apples. Everybody's talking about GMO, and I get the things that are going on with that. I just don't care. You know, listen, my wallet cares, and I don't. And look, I know she's not listening to this. I'll tell you one of the biggest reasons why I'm gonna miss my ex, her mom, they used to always make lamb for like holidays.
Ooh.
She's delicious.
Did they cook like the whole lamb or certain pieces of the lamb?
Crack of lamb, you know, like lamb chops. Just delicious.
Ooh.
Absolutely delicious. You know, it's one of those things too, it's like when you're with your significant other's family and you're not trying to be the hog and the pig. So you don't want to come and like just grab like, you know, 10 pieces of lamb. So you got to keep going back when nobody's looking. That was me. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know what? I remember, when me and Roger first started dating, I used to be, and I don't know if all women go through this, but I used to be trying to be very, very cute because I can eat, you know, even though I'm not that big, I love to eat. And I know that sometimes it kind of shocks and surprises people. So, you know, at first you try to get small portions or ladylike portions, and you go home, you're fucking starving, you eat everything in the fridge because you didn't eat when there was food around. So now, when I'm with my husband, I eat. I was like, you know what, fuck it. You're going to have to see my plate piled up high and all this good stuff because I refuse to leave here hungry, especially if it's really, really good food.
Yeah, it's good food. Yeah, I got to eat it. You know, I got to go in. I'm not going to lie, I'm the same way. Like, when I'm out with people, I try not to be the pig. When I'm home alone, all bets are off. All bets are off. If it's just me, oh, yeah. I can get whole steak by myself. Maybe even get another piece. Who knows? You know?
Let me tell you what I did one time. One time, we had, this was years ago, I was starving. And we had went out to eat. We had went to some place, and they had a 72-ounce steak or something like that. And I was like, that's what the fuck I want. Hell yeah. Oh, I meant, before I go on, how do you like your steaks?
I like mine, like, about medium.
Okay.
Yeah. Just nice. I don't want it too tough. I want it to be nice and juicy. So, medium, maybe medium rare, depending on what kind of cut it is. But usually about medium. You know, medium is a nice, good one for me. Nice and juicy. Nice. It's cooked enough, and it's just right.
I'm not even gonna lie, Chris. You're my type of man because, honey, when I messed around, because you know my family, I don't know about yours. My family black, so they burnt everything. Everything had to be done, super well done. Smothered in A1 and Heinz 57 or whatever sauce they made up. So I never really understood the joys, literally, of like anything medium. I didn't understand that until I was an adult. And that's one beautiful thing about hanging out with white folks, cause they will look at you like, nigga, what you doing to that steak, by frying it? And one of them gave me a medium piece of steak and my whole world changed. I was like, oh my God, why is it so soft? Why is it so tender? I just could not comprehend a soft piece of meat that you didn't have to smother in sauce.
Listen, all right. You know, we always talk about race and things like that and reparation from white people. I got to give it to white people, though. They do the same thing for me. They let me see the light
right
comes to how to cook my steak. Because I was the same way. Everything was meat. It was well done. Remember that time I ordered a well done steak, and you know they give you a little like, he doesn't. This Negro doesn't know any better.
Right.
We show him the light. And it hurt me. Because the first time I had one, I was just like, what's wrong with me? So I started with well done. Then I was like, well, medium well. Then I started going down further and further and further. Now, I won't go to rare. Just one thing I won't do. But, yeah, I can't do above medium well. Like, and even then, it's got to be a certain time I'll do a medium well. And it's still good. Usually sometimes when I'm grilling it sometimes, I'll go that far. But most times, gotta be medium. Cause it's just so good. You know? That steak melts in your mouth, man.
Okay. It's just something about the texture, especially if you get a really high quality cut steak. Mm-hmm. It melts in your mouth. It's almost like you're eating butter. It just tastes so delicious. And the same thing about hamburgers. I used to always eat my hamburgers well done. I eat my hamburgers medium now because the same thing. I bit into a medium piece of hamburger and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is delicious. So it's one thing I got to give the white folks. Shout out to the white folks out there because y'all don't burn all your goddamn food.
Yeah, you got to know how to cook it. Right? You don't. Like people are like, oh, but it's still pink. They're like, it's got to be hot pink center. You gotta make it so that it's still cooked, but it's not killed. You know, it's like
right.
You still want to be able to taste the flavor in it. And yeah, it's just that's a good steak. Yeah, you already got me. You know, now and that's the name of the show. You know, lip smacking good. This is why I'm over here thinking to myself that tomorrow I might have to go get a steak. You know, thanks, Karen. Thanks.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Well, what size do you eat with your steak?
It really just depends on what I'm doing. Like sometimes when I'm in a steak mood, I got to do the breakfast steak. So I'm going for steak and eggs, which is always delicious to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. Because of the way my diet is now, I don't do as much starchy food. So I used to do mashed potatoes. That's always a good one, steak and mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. So now what I'll do is I'll substitute the white potatoes for, sweet potatoes. So that's always good. And, well, I'm pretty sure we'll get into this later when I talk about, you know, what I do during my fighting diet and things like that. I started to steam more vegetables. So now one thing that I didn't think I would ever like, but I've been doing a lot more of, asparagus.
Mm.
And, I now have a steamer and a little thing I just put in, it's like one of those little metal steamers. You put it into any pot you have, steam these vegetables. So I have that. I've also started steaming green beans as well. So that kind of stuff, a nice green vegetable, maybe a sweet potato and a steak. Yeah, Yeah.
You were talking about sweet potatoes. Are sweet potatoes less starchy than white potatoes?
I think they are. And the thing about it is I just like the taste better. Because here's the thing. When it comes – a lot of the times when it comes to these foods for me, it's not even about what the starch is or the carbs or things like that. It's just a better taste, and it allows me not to have to add stuff to it. So, like, when I'm having a sweet potato and a good sweet potato that you cook right, it's already sweet enough. You don't have to add butter to it. You don't have to add sugar. You don't have to add anything to it. It's sweet enough. I can just eat it now by itself. But when it comes to white potatoes, I have to add something. I have to add butter, you know?
It's like you have to do it. You see a potato, you go, okay. You start thinking the butter, the creams, the milk, or whatever else you're gonna add to it.
Right, and just the taste. You know, like sweet potatoes just they have a better flavor to them, so I can eat that more raw without adding anything to it. Whereas regular potatoes, they need something to it. I gotta add something to it. I just have to, you know. So, I've been doing a lot more sweet potatoes. It's a better taste, and like I said, a lot of the stuff that I do with my quote unquote diet is. I want to eat things that are good enough in flavor that I'm not required to add the bad stuff to it. Because like I said, grew up in a black household. You know, I grew up adding stuff, unnecessary stuff to my food for you. So, you know, I got butter and sugar on my grits. You know, I know some people do salt and pepper. Yeah, not a problem, but I add something to my grits. I have to add something.
Yes.
To it, you know, I can't just eat grits by themselves. You know, fried chicken, you know, get your little mix going, throw it in the deep fat fryer. I have these foods and this flavor that I grew up with, and I need to now kind of wean myself off of that stuff, but still, I still want the flavor and the taste. So now I have to find some different ways of mixing things together that I never used to do before to get that, you know, to get that flavor. So yeah, it's been hard. It's been hard. I've got a, you know, growing up, I had a really fast metabolism and I could never gain weight. And then, I got injured and my metabolism was like, all right, nigga, we're done. You used and abused us for 25 years. Done, yo. We're not coming. I'm not coming back.
It turned down. It was like, I'm turning down. In fact, I'm turning off.
Oh, it did. It turned completely, after my second injury, it turned completely off for a while. And I had to work hard to get it to where it's at now. Now it's manageable. It's back to get, but for a while there, I had no metabolism. It was just, I gained a lot of weight. I couldn't, it was bad. I kept eating the same stuff I was eating before. And I wasn't as active as I was, and my metabolism was worse. So it was like in college, I could eat a whole, you know, large pizza by myself, a 5-pound bag of gummy bears, not gain an ounce.
Ooh, yeah.
Now I eat two slices of pizza. I got to think about how I'm going to work that shit off in the morning.
Right.
So, you know, it's just one of the things that happen when you get older. You never know. There's no set time for when it's going to hit you. It just does. And when it does, if you're not prepared, you're not eating right, it takes a while. And that's what happens to a lot of us when we get older. We, you know, we have these bad habits we grew up with eating, you know, and we like what we like. And so when your metabolism starts going down and you get older, your bad eating habits are still there.
Yes.
And you gain all this weight. And that's why it's funny to me because everybody blames like McDonald's and they blame all this other stuff. It's not that. It's like that stuff has always been the same. It's not really changed that much. What it is you just can't eat it like you used to, you know,
right.
And we're not as active as people. And, you know, you got to, it's work now. You know, my diet and eating, not even diet, because I hate calling it a diet. Mm-hmm. What I eat now, it's like another job. I have to manage it. I have to look at it. I have to plan it out. And, you know, it's annoying sometimes. Like this week, I'm not doing any training. I'm taking off. I'm like, listen, I had people who listen to the show know I've had a lot of stuff going on the last couple of weeks. So I just took this week off and was like, you know what? I'm not training. And whatever you want to eat, you can eat. And that's what I've been doing. And I'm going to pay for it next week, you know, by working overtime. But it's allowed me to get the rest I need to get because I'm not stressing over, you know, making my meals, planning my meals out and doing this and doing that. So yeah, it's a lot.
It is. Being healthy is a lot more stressful than I thought it would be. It's very difficult. Before you had mentioned a steamer, what got you into even thinking about using a steamer?
So, because one of the things I do is I train and coach Muay Thai kickboxing, and I also fight. So I wanted to be a certain – in order to do any of this kind of stuff, you need to be in shape. You know, there's out of shape, in shape, and then there's fighter shape. And a lot of people don't understand what fighter shape is, which is a whole new kind of total level. And in order to get to that level, I need to eat right. And one of the things that's been helping me is I use this it's not really a cookbook. It's more – he has a book, an entire book at it. And it's a guy who – a lot of fighters in the UFC go to when they're looking to fix their diets and drop their weight and things like that, Mike Dulcey. And he's really, really good at his stuff. And he has a lot of these recipes that he puts out there, and a lot of them call for steaming vegetables. So I was like, all right, well, I don't know how to steam them, so let me just go out and see if I can find something. And I went into the grocery store, and, you know, there it is, a little metal steamer. You know, it was like $9, I think.
That's all?
Yeah, it fits in any, because it fits in any pot and pan you have. And all it literally is it's just a little, like, a metal thing that opens up anything. There's no extra thing in there. You use your regular saucepan, put a little bit of water in your saucepan, you put this little metal, like, basket into your saucepan, and you put your vegetables in that, and the water, and then you put the top on it. The water will boil and it'll steam up, and that'll steam your vegetables. So you don't have to buy like a total, like, I think they sell separate steamers.
Yes, and that's what I, with different levels and all this fancy stuff.
Don't even bother with any of that. I mean, you can do that if you're getting like serious into doing some serious, but if you just want to, like I said, you're just a regular person trying to do some regular stuff, do like buy the $9 steamer because you probably got pots and pans already. You can use that. It is so easy. You know, the biggest thing that I steam right now are asparagus and green beans. And, I cut the stalks of the asparagus, throw them in there, just, you know, 10 minutes at the most, it's done. you know, and it's easy. Because I used to, before that, I used to buy, they had these little steamer, fresh and vegetable bags. Mm-hmm. I used to buy those. And I used to buy the frozen vegetable steamer bags, and you could throw those in the microwave for like 5 minutes, and they steam the frozen vegetables inside the bag and open those up. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's a good thing, but you lose a lot of nutrients by using, you know, frozen vegetables.
Are they full of salt?
Some of them are.
Okay.
You have to look at the bag. Some of them, like, I would usually get the ones that are just like broccoli or the ones that were just like peas or something like that. But they also sell ones that have like rice in them or seasoned vegetables and things like that. And those, ton of sodium. So you have to be careful with that. And it became a hassle. And I also realized how much I was spending on trying to get that stuff. So I was like, well, why don't I just go and get the, pay the $9 for the steamer. And then I can go and get whatever, you know, fresh vegetables I want to get and do it that way. And I think I'm saving myself some money by doing that. So, yeah.
Wow. Cause that'll be something interesting to look into as far as doing stuff like that. Cause I didn't realize they were that cheap because I was, you know, I was like, okay, they got steamer. Okay. I was like, well, that's another piece of, cause I'm a woman. So I have a blender. I got a mixer, you know, I got a crock pot, you know? So for me, I'm like, this is another thing I got to put on the counter now.
Oh, and it folds. So it's literally really small. Cause the one I have, it folds up and it's something you'll see. Just put in a steamer basket. And it'll probably pop up. Cause that's the first thing I thought. It was like, first question I had when people were talking about steam your vegetables, I'm like, well, how the fuck do I steam vegetables? I don't know how to steam. I gotta buy a steamer? I don't wanna buy a steamer. No. Like you, I have a blender, I have a juicer, I don't wanna buy another steamer. So I looked it up and people were like, oh no, you just get a little steamer basket, put it in your little saucepan and you're good to go. And I was like, well, how much is that? $10? Okay.
I can do that. That don't sound complex at all.
No.
Kickboxing, what got you interested into even starting it?
I've always liked martial arts. Like growing up, I was in Taekwondo. Loved Taekwondo. Loved watching. I know one day, I think it was Rod and I were bonding over everything. It was Enter the Dragon because it came on, and he was like, "Yo, this is like my favorite movie." We were just, you know, we were live tweeting that one. I love watching Bruce Lee. I love watching any kind of martial arts film. Mm-hmm. And then when the UFC started getting more popular, because before it used to be banned, it was like pay-per-view only, banned. But I was like, I think that's kind of cool. Like any, you know, all these people with these different fight styles fighting each other. It was like, you know, that Jean-Claude Van Damme film where everybody had their different fighting styles and they came together. I was like, that's cool. So when it became popular and they stopped, it wasn't banned anymore and they put it on TV, I was like, man, I really want to do that. And I played basketball, you know, throughout college recreationally and things like that. And I ruptured my Achilles playing basketball twice, once on my left and once on my right.
Oh, my.
Right. And I kept playing basketball. But, you know, as you get older, your body, that playing on that hardwood floor just wears your body down. It's hard on your knees. It was hard on my Achilles. So I had a couple of frat brothers who had started going to this MMA gym, you know, like maybe five, six years ago, and maybe a little bit longer than that. And they told me to come out and try it. I started coming out and trying it. I really liked it. And so I kept going, and I had to stop for a while because I bought my house. But then when I came back, I was like, I really want to do Muay Thai because I always loved watching that sport and love it going on, and they taught it there. And I came back, started training it, and I got addicted to it. And it was less harder on my body. Amazingly, you know, people think – you're doing a martial arts, you're hitting each other, you're kicking each other, you're kicking pads hard and things like that, that it would be harder on my body, but it's not. It's actually a lot easier on my joints than the basketball because we're on a mat versus being on a hardwood floor where your knees are jumping up and down. So that's how I got into it. So I started training a little bit, had no interest in fighting, just wanted to get better. And the more and more I trained, the more and more I got better. I started training with better people. We hooked up with this guy, Coach Rick McCoy, who teaches in Virginia in Richmond, the MMA Institute down there. And he actually just came up. I just came from a seminar he did at our school the day. I was very successful. And he has, like, pro guys. Like, he's actually going to be – I just found out today that he's going to be coaching Robbie Lawler's Tom Lawler's corner. He's fighting in a UFC fight on the 19th of July. You know, and I've trained with some of his guys down there. And after training with some of his guys, I was like, you know, they're better than me, But this isn't as hard as, you know, it's hard, but I actually really enjoy this. So as you keep training and training, you start thinking to yourself, well, what's the next step? Well, the next step is actually get into the cage or get into the ring and fight yourself. So I was like, why not? And I did it. Lost my first fight. Bad. But I enjoyed it, you know. And I think that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand that once you step into the ring or the cage, you're already technically better than 90% of the people in the world.
True. That's true.
Most people won't. I mean, you hear people say all the time, well, I fight all the time. I fought growing up. It's different. Like, it's different when you're fighting somebody or a drunk person or somebody, you know, you're defending somebody's honor or you're on the basketball court and you're fighting. It's different when you're fighting somebody who spent just as long as you did trying to kick your ass too. You know, you spend, if I spend eight weeks in the gym, you know, training for a fight in the gym 7 days, 6 days a week, you know, spending hours and hours in there, I know the guy I'm fighting is probably in the gym that long too.
Yes. You know?
And I'm sorry, that's just different. It's different from fighting the guy and I knock out guys all the time. Yeah, but what is their skill level? You know?
Yes.
It's different when you've been like, and you never go into that fight in ideal conditions. Both my fights, I've gone in with some kind of injury before. It's just what happens. You know, you push your body to the limits. You're going in with some kind of injury, you know? And that's actually why, you know, to tie into your show, my diet, I realize, is a big part of making sure I stay healthy during, you know, a 6 to 8 week training camp. If I'm not eating correctly, then my body is not going to be able to hold up to the punishment I'm going to put it through. Like when I'm in training camp, I'm talking, you know, 4 hours a day sometimes of hard training. I might get Sunday off.
Wow.
And that's it. But even then on Sunday, I'm probably waking up and going for a run, you know, and that's my off time. But yeah, it's hard, you know. Even right now, I'm not training for a fight, but I got a banged up knee. You know, I'm icing it now. It's just what happened. And the best way for me to help heal myself is to make sure that I'm eating right. Because if I'm not eating right, I'm putting junk into my body. My body's gonna, you know, it's gonna produce junk. You know, it's just what it is. So,
what is when you're going through your 8 week training process? That's 2 months. This is a very, very long period of time to keep in shape. Some people can't do it for a week.
Right.
So kudos to that all in itself. What is your, like, meals? Because I know before you said you had to, like, pre-plan and prepare your meals. Does that help prevent you from going and eating things outside of that if you already have it prepared in advance?
Yes. It's actually, especially now, I'm actually working. I used to be working from home, so it was a little bit easier to make anything. But now I actually go into the office most of the time during the week. So pre-planning my meals and making them beforehand and Tupperware is like the lifesaver. Like, if I did not have enough Tupperware or good Tupperware, I would not be able to do the Tupperware and mason jars have helped me tremendously. I use the mason jars for any kind of juicing I do.
Okay.
And I use the Tupperware to make my meals. And I can put my meals into small, like, it doesn't have to be big Tupperware containers, but I actually try to get the smaller Tupperware containers because then I can control the portions of the meals I'm eating.
Okay.
Because I think that's also the biggest thing I think that I've learned about eating right it is what you eat, but it's how much you eat. And I think the biggest problem I've always had, and I think a lot of Americans have always had, is we overeat. You know, our plate sizes are too big. Mm-hmm. You know, our portion sizes are too big. If you ever look at the back of a cereal box and see what the serving size is, you're like what? A cup.
I have, Chris. It's like a fourth of a cup and an inch and a half of 2% milk, and you're like, what the fuck? That is a snack.
I'm not gonna lie. I went through a family size box of Cheerios in 3 days.
Right. Okay. So I'm not the only one then, Chris, because it's one of those things where, okay, I had started going through this process where I had started calorie counting, and that could be good and bad because you can literally drive yourself insane if you calorie count too much. And it was one of those things where I actually had an app on my telephone, and it would say, okay, according to your height, weight, and size, you know, this is your level. And it was like I had got so good, which is, I need to get back into the habit. I got so good that I literally had started, like you said, reading the back, and I was going strictly by it. They was like, this is a serving. I would literally do the serving. And a lot of times when they trick you, is that whenever they give you a serving, they go a half a serving.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so you gotta double that actually a lot of times to get a whole serving, which is probably, so if you double it, if it has, you know, 400 milligrams of salt, it's literally 800 milligrams of salt because the average person isn't gonna eat a half of a serving. So it's just one of those things where I had got to the point that I had got my body accustomed to the smaller portions. And does snacking throughout the day help, or you don't snack?
No. So the first thing I realized is I can make my portion sizes smaller. And you'll hear every fitness person says this, and it's especially true for myself, for fighters. If you're not fighting, you just want to get better. I do about 5 to 6 small meals a day.
Okay.
And so what I do is I have my major meals, my breakfast, my lunch, and my dinner. But in between those, I'll have smaller things. So maybe I have, for snack, I'll have like a bunch of grapes. You know, another thing that's great for me is I'll have a small container of some carrots. Because what I find about the carrots is sometimes I like just to be able to crunch something.
Yes.
But that's when it comes down to, like, chips.
Yeah.
I like chips. It is because of the taste of chips. But a lot of times you don't realize it's also just the taste, the crunching of it.
Yes.
And the munching and the munchies. So the carrots help because I'm crunching, and then you're literally, you know, it's a crunch when you bite into a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been great. So I've been doing that, and even cucumbers. Cucumbers the same way. You can kind of cut them into almost like they're potato chip slices. They're not replacing potato chips. Don't let anybody tell you that it replaces potato chips. It does not. But you can kind of trick your body once you get used to it. And the thing that that's what you're snacking on. There's been plenty of times when I'm like, oh, I need a snack. I have some carrots here. I'll snack on those. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't have that craving anymore. It's gone. So, yeah, a lot of times what it is, because, again, I have an inner fat guy that's named Bob. Is Bob from Fight Club. He has bitch tits, and yeah, he's really bad. When Bob gets, you know, the cravings, Bob is really bad. So I have to trick my body. I don't try to pretend. I don't lie to myself. I don't try to tell myself, this is better than sugar, or this is better than having some cake. It's not better. I'm not going to lie to myself like that, because it's bullshit. You know? Nah. You know, there's nothing tastes better than donuts. Like, I see vegans and vegetarians say this shit all the time. People who are like, diet Nazis. Oh, well, no, I haven't even had sugar in a while, because you know what? I don't even need it. Fuck that. All right.
Yes. And fuck you, because it's one of those things where my thing is this. I have always struggled with food, Chris. I'm not even going, since I've been a little kid, I weighed more in the fourth grade than I do right now. So that fat girl was always there. Now I have control her. I'm like you. She's internal now. Before she was external, everybody could see her. But now I had to rein her in and stick her on the inside. And for me, food has always been my weakness, because what those vegans and all these food Nazis fail to realize, you gotta motherfucking eat. It's not like other things. You can't just say, well, stop doing it. You can't just stop eating. You have to eat to survive and to live.
Like, yeah, I see people, I see these self-righteous people say this shit all the time. It's like, well, yeah, if you just stop eating sugar, you won't even miss it. I was like, no, I remember what a fucking 3-scoop sundae tastes like, and no, I still miss that. I know what a donut tastes like, and no, your vegan, healthy, all-organic donuts do not taste the same.
No.
Your sugar-free ice cream does not taste like ice cream that has sugar in it. Stop lying to yourself. That's the first step. Do not lie. And that's what I do. And when I'm getting ready to get into shape, and I need to get into fight camp, I don't try to lie to myself. Actually, so my fight camps usually go, I usually start about 8 weeks out. 2 weeks before then, that first week, that 2 weeks, I eat whatever the fuck I want. I get it out of my system right then. I eat donuts. I eat my ice cream. I eat my steak. Whatever I know that I'm probably not going to eat a lot of or any of in my fight, I will eat during that week. Pizza, I'm in.
Yes, one of my favorite. That's my favorite food.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a big pizza fan. Love my pizzas. Love my pizza. We have a Bertucci's up here. Oh, they have the ultimate Bertucci with oh, yeah, it's delicious. I might have to get one of those soon. But it's delicious, right? So whatever I do it during that week. That is my cheat week. I get it all out of my system.
Okay.
Right then. Then the next week, what I do is I'll cut out sugar. I still might eat some bad stuff here and there, but I'll start cutting out my sugar. So no cookies, no cakes, and I have a horrible sweet tooth. So I need to do all this stuff beforehand, but I do it because I'm like, I need to get out of my system now. I don't want to get to a point where I'm fighting the craving, So I indulge my cravings for a little bit. Don't go overboard with it, but I you know, if there's something I'm like, well, you know what, you're not gonna get ice cream for a while, so you know what, have some ice cream, dude. I'm gonna have some ice cream.
Okay.
You know, because it's just I don't believe in this whole, well, you know, if you Greek yogurt is no, it's not. It's Mm-mm. not just. It's not. Just
it's
like,
it's not the same. And I've learned how to enjoy Greek yogurt. But it's not the same, and I'm not even gonna lie. You get certain brands of Greek yogurt, that shit is terrible. I don't care what they try to say or how much they try to trick you that it's better than regular yogurt. Mm-hmm. Some of that shit is nasty. Like, yeah. Like just to the taste. I know for me, I'm like you, I have a sweet tooth, and my thing is this. Whenever I get a craving for something sweet, if I eat a small portion, then I'm okay. Like, if I see a piece of cake and I want the cake, if I cut a small slice of cake and eat it, I'm good. But I can't deny myself for extended periods of time, because when I do eat it, you'll turn around, you'll be like, God damn, what happened to the whole cake? Well, I ate it because I wanted it then, I didn't eat it, and I waited 4 months. So when I ate it, I just ate the whole thing. Do you ever have those issues?
Oh, absolutely. It was 10 weeks out, 2 weeks out before I started my camp, because I was actually supposed to fight in July. I ended up, you know, not deciding not to do that. But back in, you know, end of May is my birthday, and I was, you know, going to go ahead and start getting ready for camp. They surprised me at the gym for my birthday and gave me a cake. So I was like, fuck, I got to take this cake home with me. I was like, well, I'll have a slice. That was Wednesday. By Saturday, all the cake was gone. Yeah, I ate all the cake. Like, that is my problem. I can't help myself. I just can't. So all that cake was gone, and I know this about myself. So, which is why when I'm in camp, I don't even try to indulge myself. Like, I know I have I have a goal in place. I have 8 weeks. I'm gonna give it up for that 8 weeks, and then as soon as that 8 weeks is done, oh yeah, I'm having whatever the fuck I want. Like, as soon as that fight is over with, whatever I want, I'm having for that first week. You know, because I set my goal, I made it. I'm at my weight and whatever I want to do. That's when, once the fight's over with, I'll go back to having it. But yeah, that's why I have to indulge myself before, because I got to starve myself from it doing that. Now, the way I deal with that is I've learned with using some of the different recipes and things I use, I learned how to replace certain things so that I can still get my sugar fix. Like, I say I'm cutting out sugar, but it's really processed sugar. Like,
okay.
I'm not doing any candy. I'm not doing any, you know, cookies. I'm not doing any cake or anything like that. I'm not putting, you know, if I have oatmeal, I'm not putting sugar in my oatmeal. But I started using more fruits and honey.
And yes.
Those have sugar in it, but it's not to the same level, and it's better for me, or peanut butter. Mm. So, yeah. So one of my favorite things is I've gotten this from again, not a diet book. It's just his philosophy, and he has some recipes in it. Mike Dolce's book. It's called The Dolce Diet. And one of the things, the big things is breakfast. And one of the meals I've started to really love is, it's kind of like oatmeal. He uses oat bran, and it's Red Mills oat bran. That's the one I use. It's usually in the hot cereal aisle. I get that, so I use, I think it's a half a cup of that, and then it's a full cup of water. And then I'll get some blueberries and some strawberries. So I'll cut out maybe like, take like 5 or 6 strawberries, cut them up into quarters, and then I'll take about a couple of blueberries. So I'll bring the water to a boil, put the half a cup of the oat bran into the thing, you know, into the boiling water, stir that for a little bit. You're supposed to add the blueberries and the strawberries right after that, but what I find is that sometimes the strawberries and blueberries actually start to melt a little bit,
yeah.
And I kind of like to having them still kind of almost whole. So I kind of wait like 30 seconds while the oat bran is starting to thicken up a little bit. Then I add the blueberries and the strawberries, stir it again for, you know, maybe like a minute until it gets the consistency you want. Take it off the stove, put it into my bowl. I'll add in a couple dashes of cinnamon, a spoonful of peanut butter, and some raisins. And you can also add in like half a banana. I cut up, slice up a couple bananas. Let me tell you, you don't even miss sugar off of that, because you have the raisins and the peanut butter. And then you have the cinnamon giving you a couple flavor there, and then you have the fruit. So I'm basically eating a healthy oatmeal that has no sugar in it, and I don't even really miss it anymore. Because there's sugar off the raisins, and, you know, the sugar and the fruit.
And the banana.
And the banana. And then you have the cinnamon. So you have this good flavorful, you know, bowl of cereal. And I can eat it and I have peanut butter. And I don't miss the sugar at all. And it's good for me. It's so much better than, you know, I remember when McDonald's started having oatmeal there. They had so much sugar in it. It was ridiculous.
They don't.
Same thing. Right. And it's actually using because I'm adding all this extra stuff into the food, it's actually a real single serving of oat bran. Because usually when I make my oatmeal, when I used to make my oatmeal, I would always make the two serving oatmeal for myself because it wasn't enough. It wasn't filling enough if I just had a single serving of oatmeal. So I always used to make the oatmeal that was for two people and eat that by myself. Now, single serving of oatmeal, of oat bran, because it's just, you know, one cup. Not the oatmeal, but the oat bran.
What's the difference? Is it difference in the flake or the cut of the flake?
It's a difference in the flavor, the texture, and the way it is. It's not rolled oats, so it's a little bit different, but it's very tasteful. It's very tasty. He says it in this thing, in his book. He's like, yeah, my fighters love it. Regular people love it. This is like one of their favorite meals. And I was like, oh, I'll be the judge of that. I made it and ate it. And like, even when I'm not fighting, I had it. Was it today? Or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday I had it. And it was just, it's so good. Because you can, like you said, you can add a handful of raisins in it. You have the fruit in there and it tastes so good. And you have to add no sugar to it. And it's good for you.
And do you realize whenever you're going through your 8-week process that you have a tendency to eat more fresh vegetables?
Oh, absolutely. So everything I do, I try to do fresh. Like I, for my last fight, I really didn't do frozen vegetables because I had the steamer then, and I was able to make these meals using the steamer, the vegetables making the steamer, and then another thing I do, I juice. So I can use my juicer to get my vegetables in. So let's say, you know, I want to make this, you know, steak or something like that. I'm like, oh, but I need to have a vegetable. Well, dude, why don't you just have a steak and drink your vegetables?
And question about juicing, like what got you started? Juicing sounds so fucking complex because it was like, I'll be reading it online. I know Phenom didn't do that bang bang juice thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? You got kale. And I was like, I don't know anything about that. I probably make some shit and it'd be like swamp milk. Like, I don't, it's so confusing to me.
I know a lot of people, they'll sit there and they'll mix and match and stuff like that. And I do that sometimes, but you know what I do? I just go online and find some recipes that people find.
Okay.
And I do that. Like, the one I use now is basically the green lemonade that everybody kind of has a variation of it. It's basically some lemon, either one lemon or a half a lemon, depending on how much you're making, one apple, and then there's a bunch of different varying green vegetables. Depending on what you want, gives you different kind of flavors. Some of the different ones I've used is romaine lettuce, a whole head of romaine lettuce, a cucumber, celery, and some kale, and throw that in my blender along with a lemon and an apple. And it sounds weird, but it actually tastes really good. Really good. I mean, the thing about apples are they're so sweet. You cut up an apple and juice an apple, you can usually cut a lot of the vegetable taste out of a lot of these different things as long as you put an apple in there. So I do that. You can add ginger to it if you want. I've seen some people say they add ginger to it, and you can play around with it. Like I said, that's what my mason jars are for. So what I've been doing is I haven't done it this week, but weeks before I usually do two a day. So I'll make two different green juices, and I'll have one like around 1 o'clock. And then, my fighters and the people at my gym, my students always see me. At some point during the time at the gym, I have another one there and then. You know, I'm drinking around. They're like, well, what is that? And I'm just like, oh, it's lemonade. It's green, you know. So, but, yeah, I look up. So it's that one, and I have another one that's basically orange juice, which is just a whole orange, about 9 carrots, and a half a lemon and like one spear of pineapple.
I'm a pineapple fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I do that. Pineapple is another one of those things I'll sometimes replace as a snack. I cut up some pineapple, put it in a little container. It's great because if I have a really big, especially towards the beginning of my camp when I'm trying to wean myself off of sugar, processed sugar, pineapple is big because I can eat the pineapple and it's sweet, but at least it's better sugar for me than processed sugar. So I'm still getting the sugar that my body is craving, but it's not, you know, I'm not getting all the other bad processed stuff I get out of, like if I went out and got a cookie or something like that. So, yeah, I really like pineapple as well.
True. As a male, who taught you how to cook? You know, before you was talking about how sometimes you have to cook certain things, or were you like me? My mama told my black ass to stay at the kitchen, so I had to learn how to cook on my own. Did your mama show you how to cook, or were you like me, had to learn how to read a lot of the white folks' cookbook and was like, oh, this shit is bland and flavorless, and had to learn how to twerk it from there?
No, my mom taught me because I was the oldest, and I would be the one that came home first. So sometimes it was my responsibility to get dinner cooked and ready because I'd be the first one home. So sometimes it was my responsibility to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I still use a cookbook now. So I use a cookbook, but like sometimes, like you said, you gotta remix it sometimes. So I remember one of the one things that I got good at growing up, and I forgot how to do it now, and can't ask me, but I got really good at making a barbecue sauce. And anytime my mom was going to do like a cook, we were going to do a cookout at the house and we were going to do ribs or something like that, she would ask me to make the barbecue sauce. And I was like, this is a funny story. So I used to always make the barbecue sauce. Everybody loved the barbecue sauce. It was great. And I got the barbecue sauce. She had the recipe for the barbecue sauce, but I would always kind of tweak it a little bit because it was like if you follow the recipe, it was a hot barbecue sauce. And kind of cause for all this hot sauce. And so what I did was I would add more sugar, more brown sugar and less of the hot sauce.
Okay.
So my barbecue sauce was sweeter. So one time she was cooking, she asked me to make the barbecue sauce. He was like, and make sure you follow the recipe. I'm like, wait, so you don't want me to make it the way I make it all the time? She's like, no, follow the recipe exactly. I was like, okay. So I made the recipe exactly the way it was. It wasn't bad. But everybody was like, man, that barbecue sauce was hot. She was like, why is the barbecue sauce so hot? I was like, because you told me to follow the recipe.
Right.
The recipe calls for all the hot sauce. I never put all that hot sauce in there when I do it. I add a dash of it here and there, but that's it because it's way too hot. She was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, next time just make it the way you make it.
Like, oh, yeah, next time don't listen to me, son.
Right. Don't listen to me next time. Just make it the way you make it. Yeah, it's a really nice, sweet barbecue sauce. And, that's what I do now. I'll look something up online, get the recipe for it, and sometimes I'll follow it exactly, or I'll tweak it a little bit, you know, and I'll make it into my own. I love grilling, so over the Memorial Day weekend, I found a recipe for. I wanted some wings, and we were getting crabs, so I was like, you know what'll go good with crabs? Old Bay wings, because you know we're in Maryland, everybody likes using Old Bay seasoning. So let me get some Old Bay wing recipe. And I found one online, grilled them up, used it. I'm about to keep playing with that recipe because it was good by itself. But now I kind of want to start messing with it a little bit because those wings were good. I'm like, I can make it even better. So I'm going to see about that. So, yeah.
How can you work with Old Bay without it being so salty? Because that's one thing about Old Bay that I have a tendency to stay away from. It is so salty.
It is salty. I'm not going to lie. This recipe was actually what didn't taste as salty, but sometimes depending on who's using and who's making the Old Bay wings, they're really, really salty. You just gotta, yes. You gotta cut it with like some blue cheese or some ranch because it's super salty. So yeah. Yeah. I think that's why a lot of people like it too, because it's people love sodium. They love salt.
You know, that's true. And you know, that's one thing. I have a sweet tooth, but like the salt, I'm almost the opposite. I can immediately tell if you kind of added salt after the fact, because I'm not a salt person. So I was never the person who took fries and had to dose salt across it. Cause I'm like, oh, this shit too salty. And I'm old now. So I was thinking, God damn, you're going to throw my blood pressure through the ceiling. You know, when you get old, you consider shit like that. Like, I don't want to be taking medicines for this.
Right. Salt is actually one of my biggest things during my camp that I got to worry about because, sugar I can give up pretty easy. I hate giving up sugar, but I can do it. Salt though, I can. So the thing about making weight that a lot of people don't understand is my last fight of my weight class I fought at was 165. So when I weighed in, I weighed in 164. And I made that weight. But people don't understand is that you're cutting down to that weight. You're not actually fighting at that. When I stepped into the cage the next day, I was probably a good 10 to 13 pounds heavier than when I weighed in.
How is that possible?
So when you're cutting weight during the week, you want to lose your weight to get down to about a good 5 to 10 pounds within your weights. If you're professional, you can be the week of your fight, you can be 20 pounds over, but I got a full-time job. So I try to get down naturally to within, 8 to 10 pounds. 10 is pushing it, but about 8 pounds. So the Thursday before my fight, I weighed in probably about, I was 173. I lied to my coach and told him I was 170. I remember because he called me. He was like, "What is your weight?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm 170. He was like, "All right, okay, cool, good. Take the night off." And I had to go to the gym and kind of work off 3 pounds.
Yeah.
What it is you kind of, the week of the fight, you kind of trick your body. And what you do is, I start on Sunday by drinking a lot of water, like about 2 gallons of water. Same thing on Monday. Then on Wednesday and Thursday, on Tuesday, I make it about a gallon. On Wednesday, it's about a half a gallon. And then on Thursday, the day before weigh-ins, I'm almost drinking almost no water. I'm taking sips of water here and there. And then from 6 o'clock on Thursday, and the weigh-ins are the next day at 6 o'clock, for that 24 hours, I have nothing to eat or drink.
Wow. Oh, so you fast.
Right. So that's basically that's what cutting weight is. People don't understand. That's what cutting weight is. You're basically depriving your body of food and water and sweating out the rest of the stuff. And so during that Wednesday and Thursday, I also cut sodium completely out of my system as well. So then, when there's no sodium, there's no water retention, and I can sweat out water. So what happened on that Thursday when he called me, I was like, I'm 173. I went to the gym. I was already not drinking and not eating. I ran for 2 miles, and then I sat in the sauna for 30 minutes, and I was able to lose that 3 pounds. Woke up the next morning, woke up at 167, 168, and by the time I got down to the weigh-ins and stuff like that, I'd already lost another 4 or 5 pounds. So I was down to 164 by the time I weighed in. So, and then right after I step off the scale, do my, square off pictures with the other guy, immediately went into my bag. And there's a secret that a lot of people, you'll see this from fighters, it's hilarious because it's for babies, Pedialyte. I got a big, giant, liter of Pedialyte.
Yeah, put the electrolytes back in your body.
Yes, and I completely devoured that bottle. It was on. And you'll see a bunch of fighters who do this. Other people, they'll make their own, maybe they'll have Gatorade or something like that, but Pedialyte, to me, it worked wonders for me. And then I start eating immediately. And that's the thing. That's why I'm able to put that weight back on the next day. I start eating. I can go back. I don't eat crazy. I'm still kind of on my restricted diet of what I can do, but I eat my carbs. I think that night I went and had brought some pasta down with me. So as soon as I got off the scale and drank my Pedialyte, I devoured the small container of pasta I had. Then I stopped by a Panera Bread and I got a turkey club sandwich and I had that because, Turkey Club wasn't too bad, had the carbs in it, wasn't horribly bad for me. Able to put that in my system, I was able to eat, and that's when I gained my weight back. So, yeah, you see people for weigh-ins. That's why people, when they go to do weigh-ins, every fighter, they look so horrible because they haven't had anything to eat or drink usually in, 24 hours, and they're completely drained, and they look like skeletons. Right. And then they put the stuff back into their bodies and they're able to put their weight back up. Like UFC fighters can lose 20 pounds in that week, cut down 20 pounds. And the next day, gain 20 pounds. There was a fight recently that happened, Tito Ortiz. He ended up fighting a guy who, it was a bad fight because Tito was able to cut down 20 pounds. By the time he got back in the ring, he had gained 20 to 30 more pounds. And you could tell.
Wow.
It was basically he was a completely different fighter than the other guy he was fighting. So yeah, it's a hard process, but to do it though, you really have to watch your diet before you even get down to that week. Like if you haven't been watching your diet before you get down to that last week, then cutting that weight is going to be horrible. Like me, cutting the weight was actually easy. I hadn't been 164 since for almost a decade. I had never weighed at that weight before, but I was able to do it pretty easily. A couple weeks ago, I was able to get down to 172 from 178 in 1 week, just from watching my diet and watching what I was doing and all the exercising and stuff I was doing. you know, it was pretty easy to drop those pounds off just by doing that and watching what I do. So, yeah, it's the biggest thing though is the dieting. Like, I hear people say, time going to saying to me, "Wow, you were able to lose, you know, 10 pounds in 24 hours. Oh man, I want to do what you can do." No, you don't, because it's cutting weight isn't for it's for a specific purpose of weighing in for a fight.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that because it's not a healthy thing. You know, you're literally dehydrating your body, you know, for 24 hours.
Yeah, that
sucking and losing all the moisture, all the fluid in your body. Like you're going to the bathroom, you're pooping it out. I mean, you're literally draining your body of all this stuff for 24 hours, and it's horrible. But if you can put stuff back in, if you do it right, you can feel healthy and feel fine the next day. And that's what happened. I felt great the next day because I was able to put the electrolytes back in my body. I was able to eat right, and I had been my body was only in that starved state for 24 hours. It wasn't like I was doing it for an entire week or something. So
because I was listening to you, I was like, "Ooh, that sounds like that's a lot of stress on your body."
And it is.
Yes, I was like, "Wow, that the average person could not do that because you're not training, you're not eating right. So you do that, your ass would die." So for those of you out there that's thinking about doing that, please don't do that.
Yeah, so you don't do that. So, but that's why the diet before you get to that week though is so important. And a lot of people don't know that, and they just want to cut the weight. Then they get into the ring, and their body doesn't hold up. And it's because, well, you know, you've shocked your body, and you haven't been doing what you need to do. But, yeah, my diet before then is I don't eat any sugars. I don't processed sugar. And, like I said, a lot of fresh meals I do, and then 6 meals a day. It really helps. And you do your snacking, you know. You do your snacking with healthy foods.
You had mentioned before about sauna. Do you think that some people use a sauna as a substitute? Because I can't speak for you, but I remember the first time I sat in the sauna, that shit was like walking into a steam. I was like, "Oh, I can't breathe. Oh, oh, oh." I was like, "What's going on here? The air is so hot."
So the funny thing about the sauna is this, and I see a lot of people doing this, or they have the sauna suit. Do you ever see those, the sauna suit that make them sweat?
No, I haven't seen that.
So, yeah, so people, they'll put these plastic suits on, and they'll go running on them, and they help you generate sweat and sweat the stuff out. So here's why this is ridiculous, all right? And even the sauna. Like, the sauna can be good when you just want a relaxing thing for your body, but if you're using it to lose weight, this is where you're messing up at. All you're doing is sweating. You're losing fluid and moisture out of your body. You're going to replace it. You're not losing fat. Like, a lot of people think that just because you lost weight, and again, because I have to do a lot of monitoring on my weight while I'm fighting, I'm always monitoring my weight. I can see the way my weight fluctuates, and I can sometimes know why it fluctuated that way. So if I'm drinking a gallon of water a day, a gallon of water is 7 pounds. Wow. So if I drink a whole gallon of water and I don't sweat it out, well, that's 7 pounds is water weight. So if I go to the sauna and wear my sauna suit, and I'm sitting in there long enough to sweat out 7 pounds, you're going to need to replace that fluid in your body at some point. So all you did was lose water weight. You haven't actually lost fat.
Okay.
You haven't actually gotten healthier. All you've done is sweat it out. You know, you're going to replace it. What you want to actually do is, you know, burn fat and burn calories. And you got to do that by eating right and exercise. But just sitting in the sauna, you'll lose some weight. You know, you can kind of, if you just want to do a photo shoot the next day, it can help. You know, it has short-term effects, but eventually you're going to eat. You're going to put water into your body again. Mm-hmm. So what have you really done? You know, I actually, like I said, I only do the sauna when I'm cutting weight. Only time I do it.
Okay.
Only time I do it. Because other than that, and even then, sometimes you don't even need to. Like, my first fight, I didn't need to do it. This fight, to tell you the truth, I probably didn't even need to do this for this fight. I probably could have woken up in the morning and gone for a 2 or 3 mile run and lost that last bit of sweat a little bit there and not outside in the sauna. So I might not have even needed to have done that, to tell you the truth.
And Chris, I think it's because I'm old. When I do the sauna, it is so relaxing for my muscles. Like, it just warms your body up. And when you sweat, a lot of times I realize for me, I'm not as sore and as stiff if I go into the sauna. So for me, it is, once I got used to being able to breathe, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not sore, I'm not stiff, I can move around, like after a really, really a good workout.
Oh yeah. Now see, that's a good reason to do it.
Okay, because that's why I use it. Like, and yeah, the thing about sauna, okay, what do you know about sauna etiquette? Because I didn't realize it was sauna etiquette. I'm black, so I always walked in there clothed. I don't know if this makes sense for those of you that have never done the sauna and you've never been around white folks in the sauna.
Yeah, at least wear a towel.
Okay.
At least put the towel around you. I mean, because I don't want to be sitting like, I've always gone to the sauna late at night. So there's nobody else in there.
Okay.
Thank God. But I don't want to be sitting in a sauna with other people butt ass naked. I don't want that. it's wrong because you're sitting your bare butt ass down.
Right.
No, I don't need to see all that. Like, put a towel around you.
And people, because it's like a big steam room, but people have been sweating in there all goddamn day.
Right. Like, people will say that it's, oh, Americans are just not free, but here's the real truth. I don't want to see you naked. You're not good looking naked. So I don't want to see it. So no, it's not that I'm not free. It's not that we're too hung up on it. I personally do not find your naked body appeasing. I don't want to fucking see it. It's just that simple. Right. You know, it's that simple to me. It does not look good. I'm not trying to see it.
And I think for, I don't know the difference between women and men, but I know for a lot of women, like, they'll come in there and, like you say, they'll either be naked or either a lot of times they'll come in there. I don't mind bathing suits. I can deal with bathing suits, but even then, it's just for the fact that it's just so freaking hot in there. Like, for me, like I said, I'm the old black lady. I actually have, beach shoes, you know, the little, shoes that had like the holes in it that you walk on the beach. I have beach shoes. A lot of times I will end up wearing, like stretchy pants and like a sports bra. And I end up, putting like a shower cap on because I was like, I can't be wasting time washing my hair every time I come in here. So for me, it's real relaxing. But when I started seeing people coming in there, like you said, sitting there bare asses, I was like, oh my gosh, people are sweating in here and you're sitting your ass on other people's sweat.
No, I'm sorry. No, I can't. I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to see any of that. And the truth of the matter is when I'm doing the sauna, I'm not even doing, if I'm doing it for relaxing, it's just a towel. If I'm doing it to lose weight, I'm actually usually probably fully clothed because it's actually helping me generate more sweat.
Okay.
So I go in there. And like I said, I don't like doing it a lot. Like you'll see people in there for hours. Like, I think my time in the sauna, this last fight camp was 15 minutes. It was 15 minutes tops and that was it. It got me sweating enough and then I was able to find that I lost that, between that and doing the 2 mile run I did before, I lost the weight I needed to lose. I was on target, went back home. That's all I did. I did not need to be in there forever.
Yeah, so. I can do about 15 minutes. They say do longer than that, but to me, after you get to a certain point, it just becomes too much. While you were at your kickboxing class, can you tell the difference between women and men when it comes to like weight, losing weight and weight classes? Because I know men and women bodies kind of respond differently.
Yeah, so women do, when they're older, you know, women do have a hard time losing weight. And I always, you know, they're always coming to me and talking to me because I'm a coach. So they're always asking me, how do you lose weight and how you do it? I mean, it's harder for women. I won't lie. It's like, you know, just how I talked about how it's harder for me to keep, now that I'm older, to eat certain things. It's even harder for women, you know, with hormones and everything else going on. Mm-hmm. You really have to be careful what you're eating and what you're watching. And that's the biggest thing I tell them. It's like, I'm like, you're at the gym all the time, but you have to watch your diet. Like, the diet is the biggest thing.
Okay.
The smallest thing can throw you off, especially as you get older. Like, I've realized that myself. It's like, I'll be fine. I eat something I know I shouldn't have eaten, and I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I should have had that bread. I shouldn't have had that. It's gonna make me feel bloated. It's gonna make me feel this way. And so I can only imagine what it's like with women. Guys, we kind of cheat because we can get away with certain things. But even then, guys have the same issue with different things. For them, it's usually alcohol and beer.
Okay.
Yeah, like the beer gut. Like I suffered from beer gut for a while. Yeah, beer gut really gets some guys. Like, I don't even do beer as much anymore.
It's just packed full of sugar, isn't it? I don't think people realize how much sugar is in beer and wine. I know for women, it's wine.
wine. It's calories. It's carbs. It's just bad. Like even light beer, don't even do it. Just like if I'm gonna drink, I just go hard liquor.
Oh my!
I just go hard. I go straight forward. If I'm gonna drink my calories, I'm gonna go hard liquor. I'll go right for the vodka and some cranberry juice or something like that. But I'm just gonna avoid the beer. I've just found myself like that's the other thing too. Everybody's body reacts differently to different things.
True.
So I know how my body reacts to beer and bread. I love beer and I love bread. I love having my sandwiches and getting my subs and things like that. But I also realize that just the way I have to watch not only what I eat but when I eat it. I can eat bread earlier in the day. The later in the day it is, the more it's going to stick with me and the more I kind of feel it there. So I kind of load my, if I'm going to eat bread and those kind of carbs, I do it more earlier in the day. And then the other thing too has been really big, and it's hard for some people, and it's definitely hard for me because, you know, I don't get done training until like sometimes 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Trying to limit what I eat after 6 p.m.
Yeah.
That is a huge deal. One of the things I found that really helps with that is, especially if you have a blender, smoothies, protein smoothies. Mm. So if I've planned my meals out throughout the day, I finish training, you know, I just been training, you know, for 3-4 hours. I need to eat something. So instead of coming home and eating like chicken breasts and, you know, a full meal that's going to sit in my stomach and, you know, have to be digesting. Cause you know, I'm not going to stay up, you know, another 4 or 5 hours to digest. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do? I just been training. I'm going to lay down. So what I do instead is I go and get a smoothie. I make one.
Okay.
I make a smoothie. And, another thing I've kind of learned with my smoothies is play around with it and try to load up with more vegetables than you do fruit, especially at night. Because fruit has sugar in it, and even though it's good for you, fruit is good for you, it still has sugar in it. So you don't want to eat a lot of fruit at night because it's the sugar in it, and it's still sugar. So what I do is I'll do something like maybe I'll cut up a cucumber. I'll put some cucumber and some spinach, and then what I might do is add a little bit of honey. You can either use water or almond milk or soy milk or something like that, or just use water. And then I'll add in some frozen fruit, or you can actually eat fresh fruit, whatever. And I'll blend that together. Cause I have a Ninja blender with little single serving cups. Amazing, by the way.
Wow. How is that Ninja blender? Cause I've seen that on TV and I was like, that shit looks so cool.
So look, I don't even use the big pitcher because it's huge. And again, serving size, it's way too much. Like I would only use that if I'm doing like margaritas for like a party or something like that.
Okay.
I get the Ninja, and it also has like the little single serving cup, and it comes with two of them, and they are amazing because you can put all your stuff into the little single serving cup, put the little blending blade on it, put it on the blender, make it, take that blender off, the blades off, and put the little sippy cup top on. You have your smoothie, and it's done. And it is amazing. The single serving cups, the greatest thing invention ever. And that's what I do. So I'll put the cucumber, maybe half a cucumber into the cup, some spinach. You can add protein powder if you're doing that. I use protein powder. You don't have to have protein powder. I add a little bit of honey to get a little bit of I like having honey in there. You don't have to have honey in there, but the honey adds a little bit of the sweetness to it. And then a very little bit of either frozen or fresh fruit. It can be mixed fruit. It can be one kind of fruit, whatever. Blend it together. It has mostly vegetables in it with the spinach and the cucumber, but also gives me the honey and the fruit give me a little bit of the sweet taste. And that'll be my dinner. If it's really late at night and I need to have something to eat. And that way it's something really light, but filling for me. And I can go to bed on that. And then I have a lot of water because water is also the biggest thing also in my diet when I'm in fight camp or even when I'm not even in fight camp. I carry around a gallon of water with me. And I try to get through the entire gallon throughout the day. So, yeah.
As you have gotten older, what are some tips that you've came to know from recovering from getting older? Because I know you said you went into, like, both of your fights, you had injuries. I know you said you've had injuries in the past. Like, how do you get your body to recover quicker or as quick as it possibly can? Because getting older ain't no joke.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do is listen to your body.
Okay.
Like, you need to know, like, so again, I originally had planned to fight on a fight card in July 19th. I was hoping they would give me a fight. I was going to do that. And then I was going to go to Comic-Con San Diego the next week after that. So I'm going to fight, then go to San Diego to Comic-Con and stuff. And, you know, with everything that was going on with the Insanity Check and the issues we were going through, and I had work stuff going on, I was sparring with one of my students, and he kicked my ass. And I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? Your mind is not into this. Your body is kind of being worn down because you're getting pulled. You have all this other stuff going on. And I was like, you know what? You probably shouldn't fight. You know, I know you really want to. I know you really, I was really excited for doing it. I was, you know, I was gearing up for fight camp. I was losing the weight. I had actually lost a lot of weight already. I was on target for what I wanted to get down because I wanted to fight at 155. Never been at 155 before. Mm-hmm. I was going to get all the way down to that weight. And I was just like, you know what? Your body's telling you you're tired because you're not getting the rest you need to get because your mind isn't focused.
Okay.
You know what? Don't fight. Let's fight in the fall. And that's what I did. And that is like the biggest thing to me is I started listening to my body more. When I was younger, I would do all kind of crazy. Like when I first ruptured my first Achilles, I was in college. I was playing at we had a basketball tournament. We had a basketball league for intramurals, and I was playing. I ruptured my Achilles during a game. All right. I didn't know that I ruptured. I just thought I had twisted an ankle or something like that.
Oh.
Had a rupture. I kept playing.
Wow.
I also played the next week.
What?
I knew I was injured, but I was like, oh no, I'll wrap it up. I wasn't as effective, but I can still play. I played another game. All right. Yeah. That almost caused serious injury,
wow.
Permanent injury to myself for doing something so stupid. That was young me. Now, when I have an injury, oh no, I'm done. No, I'm good. I'm not even gonna try to fight through it.
You
I'm not
tap out. It.
No. So the biggest thing for me is, listening to the body. The second thing is getting rest.
Okay.
Again, I'm not as young as I used to be. So I'll have, you know, if I'm trying to keep up with my younger fighters, you know, they're always training. They're always doing this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And sometimes I realize I'm like, you know what? You guys go ahead. You're younger than me. I'm going to take a break.
Right.
You know, that's when the Xbox One comes in. Great. Because I'll, you know what? I'm going to go home and play a video game. Take my mind off of it. You know, watch a movie. I'll sometimes take off and I'll go do a screener or something like that. That kind of stuff actually helps me and helps my body because I'm not constantly focused on training and gives me some time to recover because you need just your recovery time and your rest time is just as important as putting in it all into the gym.
Okay.
Because if you don't give your body time to recover, you're just going to be broken. You're not going to get time to heal. And you're gonna go into that week of the fight, and you're just gonna be so torn down and worn down, you're not gonna be able to get anything done. So I really try to make sure that I get the rest that I need to get, and I listen to my body. If my body tells me I can't do anything, then I'm not gonna do it. You know?
Okay, I thought I was the only one, Chris, because like for me, ever since I had about 2 years ago, I was in like that a car accident, and ever since then, my back and my shoulder blades and things just from the car accident just probably would never be right again. It's one of those things where I'm like you, I'm more aware of my body because I'd be like, yeah, I want to go to the Y. I'll a Saturday morning, my body, my lower back is stiff. I'll be like, you know what? I'm gonna lay my ass right here and I will just not go. And then maybe on like Monday morning, cause I think Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays, I try to go to the Y for about 30 minutes. I try to be there at 6 and work out from like 6 to 6:30, come home, shower and go to work. And what I realize some mornings I wake up and it's like not today. And sometimes I would do it twice. I would exercise that morning and in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I wake up the next day. My body's like, I'm tired. So you know what? I opt out. And before I used to think, well, something's wrong with me and I would push myself. And by the end of the week, I would be so exhausted.
Yeah.
So I'm like you. I'm glad you said that because listening to your body means a lot because when I listen to my body that next day, I can do it with no problem. But before I used to push myself. So when I stopped, I will stop for 3 weeks because my body's like, hey, I told you to stop pushing me. So now you're going to sit your ass down for 3 weeks.
Exactly. So that's what happens. Like if you push yourself too much, you eventually shut down, and then, and I have, it happens to me all the time. If I overwork myself, all of a sudden I go into, well, I'm not going to do anything mode, you know, and I'm not going to do anything for 2 months. And then I gain everything back, and all the progress I was making, I lose. So that's why I took this week off, and I was, I'm going to take this entire week off, but next week I'm going right back into it because I know I needed that break. Like when I'm in, when I'm training for a fight, it's a little bit different. Like I have to get a minimum amount of time in the gym. So there's sometimes I got to be like, okay, I'm going to force myself to take a break on this day, but I have to do this or I have to do that. I have to work out this much time. But when I'm not training for a fight, I have to remind myself all the time. It's like, wait a minute, dude, you're not fighting. So take a break. It's okay. Like I had a serious conversation with myself this week. I woke up on Monday and I was going to go for a run. And I was like, wait, why? Why? You're exhausted. You've been going through, emotionally you're exhausted. Physically you're exhausted. And you're waking up and you're having a hard time sleeping. So you know what? Take the week off. Let you, and you know what? I went in, the first time I did anything today was at our seminar. I did 2 hours at that seminar and I felt great. Haven't trained all week, been eating kind of, my diet hasn't been horrible. It's been okay. And I felt great today though training. Cause why? I gave myself some time to rest. Nice. If I had been pushing myself all week, I probably wouldn't have went into that seminar and felt horrible though. So I'm glad I gave myself this week the rest. Then I can come back the next week and now get right back into doing what my schedule was and things like that. But you just have to do it that way. You have to listen. I know you were talking about your injury from the car accident and things like that. Mm-hmm. So one thing I've also learned is certain foods help you. I know when I start feeling inflamed a little bit, I start making my green lemonade juice with more kale. I believe kale is the anti-inflammatory and it helps. Same thing with cucumbers. Mm-hmm. If I have cucumbers and kale, it usually really helps me with my inflamed Achilles sometimes on my right leg that flares up every now and then. And it really helps. So I start making sure I do that and it just cleans my system out. That's another reason why I like juicing. It really cleans my system out. Like, you know, you do that juicing, you eat right and things like that, and the water, you'll start feeling yourself passing stuff out of your system so much easier.
Okay.
And, you feel so much better by it. And it helps your joints, you know, it just does. You don't think about it, but eating right and treating your body right with the food you eat will sometimes make some of the chronic pains you've been dealing with go away.
Right.
So yeah, it really does help, you know, like I'm still not some kind of great nutritionist. I'm still learning what I can when I look up online and things like that. I'm learning about it, but yeah, you know, when you need to, like my body, I know when my body's telling me, listen, you've been going down too far down this path. It's time to start bringing it back and, you know, getting some of the stuff you need into your system again. So
with all the juicing and all the steaming and all that stuff, how do you get like fiber, or does a lot of those foods have a natural fiber in them?
Some of them have fiber in them. I don't actually think too much about my fiber, okay. To be perfectly honest. But I believe that a lot of the vegetables do have fiber in them. Yeah, I'm not even really sure. I know sometimes I do get like some of the healthier cereals that have fiber.
Okay.
And I still use regular milk. I use almond milk. I've gotten used to that. You know, trying different things. I also love the soy milk as well, vanilla soy milk. I just like the taste of it. I can't even tell you that it's healthy or not. I might try and get into the argument. I just like the taste of it, to tell you the truth. So.
Roger does soy. I don't know. He ain't found the right kind. Every time I hit that soy, I'm like, nigga, this shit is terrible. Go ahead.
I get the silk, very vanilla one. So it has a vanilla flavor in it. Oh yeah. I was eating my Cheerios with that the other day. Mmm. Yeah. Them Honey Nut Cheerios with that vanilla soy milk. Yeah, some good stuff. Yeah.
That's not serious.
Not healthy at all. And the way I was eating it too, I didn't get the small bowl. I got the big bowl.
Not the big one.
The big bowl with the big spoon. And I was eating. I would do two bowls in one sitting.
That sounds heartfelt. That was serious.
Oh yeah, that was. Oh yeah, because that was when I was just like. That's when I decided earlier this week that I wasn't going to train. And I was like, you know what? Cheerios. Haven't had those in a while. It was either going to be Cheerios. Or Captain Crunch. And I was like, man, I don't feel like tearing the roof of my mouth up.
Right.
Let's go with the Cheerios. So, yeah, yeah.
What is the most unique thing you've ever eaten before?
Most unique thing I've ever eaten before. Let's see. So, okay. I don't know which one's more unique. The most recent thing It's probably escargot.
What the hell is that?
Snail.
Okay.
I actually get, sometimes I get that when I go to a good steakhouse. I'll go a good, when I go to Vegas. Every time I go to Vegas, I always go to a good steakhouse, and I'll always get the escargot is always good. You know, when you go to a good steakhouse and get there. So, yeah, delicious. I had possum once when I was in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Oh, how did possum taste?
I can't really remember. I mean, it wasn't that season, white people. So, I was just like, okay. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't bad. It was just like, you know, I was like, well, I need some salt, but you know, but yeah, I think those are the two biggest things. I've had frog legs before. Those aren't bad. Nothing to write home about.
Okay. I've never had frog legs. And how does snail taste?
It's actually the way they make it is like, they had a garlic, I always say it's like and garlic and butter, and it's kind of salty, but, it's not bad. I don't know if there's a way to describe the taste of it, but it's not bad. I think it was like, I had escargot and asparagus, and it was actually really, you know, I mixed it with my asparagus and it wasn't bad. You know?
Oh yeah. And the thing is that, we went to, Roof Chris. And Roderick laughed at me because Roderick has gone to like fancy smancy restaurants in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know the etiquette. So we were sitting there eating our meal and having a good time. And, you know, I'm used to, I ain't going to say lower quality restaurants, but restaurants where they don't do as much attention to detail. But I got to remember, if you're paying $50 for a plate and $25 for every side.
Yeah.
You know, you demand more attention, but I wasn't used to that. So we were sitting there enjoying our meal and the dude came over there. It looked like a knife, like a switchblade knife. And he popped it out and started scraping the crumbs off of the table. And Chris, I didn't do anything, but my eyes got big and I looked at Roger. I didn't say anything. And when that dude looked, I was like, why the fuck did he pull out a knife on us?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not gonna lie. When the first time I went to my first really good steakhouse, you're just like, really? This is what you?
Right.
You guys, all right. But I ate the food and I was like, okay, garçon, carry on. You know, it's but, like,
yes.
You get into, like, I love going, the thing about it, when I go to Vegas and do this, I love going to the nice steak restaurant on odd times when they're not busy. And I don't go dressed up. I go dressed regular so I can just sit around with the white people and, you know, dressing regular and order like, the good stuff and order my steak medium and, you know, feel important and stuff like that. So I'll go to find the most expensive steak on the menu and I'll order that bitch. Ooh. Yeah. I think the most expensive steak I got was like a $45 steak. My meal alone was like $90 for me.
What all did you have?
I can't even remember, but it was good.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was. I just know it was good.
Yeah, that's one thing I have to tell people. Sometimes the quality is worth it. Whenever you go to like the finer dining steakhouses, I know for me the steak everything was delicious. I just had to get used to the etiquette. You know, I'm used to just people not paying you no attention. I'm not used to every time you put your cup down, somebody's pouring water or you know like they're like almost monitoring you. You be like, where the hell you come from? So it's nice to be treated like royalty, but like you say, you're going to pay $90 for yourself. So you expect top quality service.
Right. You know, I don't do, you know, I'm not some kind of, you know, super sophisticated person, but when I go places, sometimes when I, you know, every now and then you got to treat yourself, you know, when I go to Vegas, I'm having so much fun, you know, doing all this stuff that every now and then I'm like the one time I'm going to go somewhere and go to a restaurant. You know, I usually do the buffets for everything else.
Okay.
So I'm only going to pick that one night. That I go and I'm gonna have me a really good dining experience. And same thing, even just regular, you know. When I go places, if I'm gonna go, I wanna go. You know, I don't mind going to the dive bars. I don't mind going to the chain restaurants. But every now and then, I wanna go somewhere that's, you know, really good, and I can get, you know, something that tastes good. And I'm gonna pay a little bit more for it, but I get the good service and the good meal, and that's all that really matters. The good atmosphere, you know.
Yes, and there's nothing like, I don't care what everybody say, it's nothing like sitting in a restaurant, a lot of times full of white folks, but it's nothing like sitting in a restaurant full of white folks and feeling so safe. I feel like that about Panera Bread. Every time I go into Panera Bread, it's nothing but me and the white folks eating our soup bowls and having a good time. So shout out to the white people that make you feel safe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Gotta love them.
What food events do you look forward to each year? You know how you have like the food festivals and things like that, you know, or do you not do that type of thing?
Yeah, I haven't done that in a long time. I know we always have like restaurant weeks and things like that. I always miss them. I don't think about them. I know one thing that I used to do, I only did it once, but it was so much fun. Went down to North Carolina and we went to a beer fest. Mm. And it was incredible. It contributed to my beer gut as well back then. But it was great. You know, try all these different craft beers and things like that. So that was good. I know they had a bacon fest out here and apparently it was a terrible event. I'm glad I didn't go.
How can bacon be terrible?
Well, because apparently the lines were waiting. They ran out of bacon food sometimes. So yeah, apparently it was not a good event. Which sucks because again, I think like you think, you know, how can a bacon event be bad?
Right. It's goddamn bacon. Come on. It's delicious.
How do you mess that up? How do you mess it? But apparently they mess it up. But yeah, so I don't go to a lot of the, fest or things like that just because, you know, when it comes to me and my eating, especially if I'm not in camp, like when I'm in camp, I'm not even that I'm strict, but I usually don't change anything up a whole lot. Like there's usually a set group of meals I usually eat for that 2 months that I stick with because they're easy to make. They're quick to make, and stuff like that. But when I'm not in camp, it's whatever I feel like. You know, my taste, you know, like I was somewhere at the gym the other day and somebody mentioned pizza and I was like, you know what? I do want pizza. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get pizza. You know, it's what it is. Oh, you know what? There is one event that I go to every year. And it's not like a public event or anything like that, but my frat brothers has his family, his mom and his stepdad, and they hold this. It's a fish fry. Ooh. I just went to it like last weekend. Best fish, catfish, it's not even catfish. The best fried fish. Oh, yeah, it's just delicious.
I was gonna say, what kind of fish they have? Flounder, catfish, grouper.
I think it's whiting that they do. Fries whiting. And they have a bunch of other stuff too. They do. They have chicken and they have hamburgers and hot dogs and things like that. Mm-hmm. But everybody's there for the fish and it is delicious. I always show up early so I can get my plate. Because if you don't show up early, you're going to be waiting in that line for that fish to come out because that fish goes quickly.
I bet you it does.
Yeah, that is the one food event that I go to that I look forward to every year that I do not miss.
Yeah. He's like, I have to be there.
Oh yeah, I'm getting that fish. I was just talking. Rice was there with me this year, and we were talking. I was talking to her about it. That dynamic of the event is changing now. Where it used to be that everybody was single, so it was a bunch of single people showing. Now it's people with their families, and it's more family oriented and stuff like that. And I was like, oh well, you know, we're single, and I'm just going to deal with that because I want this damn fish. So.
And yeah, I'm going to keep coming and walk around your kids.
Right. I'll come early and get the fish and then leave early if I got to. So it's not stopping me from getting this fish. So, yeah.
That fish is more important to your family.
Yeah. It's way more family. It's way more important. So I'll deal with the kids if I got to and until I get this fish. So, yeah.
I don't blame you. What is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make? I know you said you love steaks, but is there anything else?
I don't make.
Mm-hmm. You go, this right here is just my favorite thing.
It's so hard because I like so much stuff. But probably ice cream. Because everything, you say what I don't make, and I can make everything else. Ice cream, though. I have not made my own ice cream since I was in living with my mom, and I was like in high school. But ice cream is the one thing that people got to make for me that I love to eat. And I am a big ice cream fan. I'm big on all kinds of sugary stuff anyway. But, yeah, ice cream is definitely the number one thing, I believe.
What's your favorite kind of ice cream?
I go really regular with just the regular vanilla. Go regular vanilla, but then I will add I'll add everything to it. So when I get my vanilla sundae, I gotta get the hot fudge. I gotta get the gummy bears. I gotta get the rainbow sprinkles. I gotta get
don't you?
Oh, I go all. When I do this, like.
You get everything on the ball.
Every time I fight, so I fought 2 times already. Win or lose, the next day, that Sunday, I'm going to get a 3-scoop Sunday. And I'll go to the Baskin Robbins or whatever the ice cream place is there. And I'll ask them, Like, okay, I want a three scoop sundae. And they're like, okay, so what do you want on it? Three toppings. Like, no, it's not going to be three toppings. It's going to be way more than that. They're like, it's going to be extra. I don't care. You're just going to put it on there. Right. When I tell you to put it on there, you're going to put it on there. Hot fuzz. I'll put the gummy bears. I'll put the rainbow sprinkles. I'll get the whipped cream. I'll get the cherry. I think that's it. I don't put any nuts on or anything like that. But all that on there is like, that's what you want? Three scoops on there? Yes. And it is delicious. Delicious.
For me, like I said, I kind of wild out. If I get in the mood, I do the ice cream, like you said, vanilla at the base. And I like the Reese's Pieces. I do the M&Ms. I do the nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't get me started on like, last night I went out to grab jelly beans. I just can't. I don't know what it is. I have this thing for jelly beans now. So I have to eat jelly beans. So I got two bags of jelly beans and I fucking destroyed them last night. So
the best type of jelly beans I've ever had are the ones from Starburst.
Oh, really? Yeah, those are good.
Those are like the best jelly beans ever.
Yeah, those are good. I also have this thing for donuts, chocolate covered donuts. But it can't be just regular chocolate covered donuts. Apparently, the 7-Eleven near me has changed who they get their donuts from. I want the chocolate covered frosting donuts, but they also have the glazed on them. So they're chocolate covered glazed donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just have the regular plain donut with chocolate on top. That's not good enough. I need to also have a glaze on it as well.
If you're going to do it right.
Right. And that's my thing. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I mentioned this before, you know, the sugar free syrup if I'm going to have pancakes, I'm going to fucking have pancakes with sugary syrup. If I'm going to have ice cream, I used to try to do it. I used to try to do the low-calorie ice cream or the sugar-free ice cream. It's still bad for you.
Yes, and a lot of times it tastes terrible. And what I've done, and I don't even know if this is an upgrade, Chris, I've even got so good that whenever I make like pancakes and waffles, I'll even take a banana and crush it and put bananas in the mix and make it like a waffle pancake or a banana waffle.
Yeah. Why not? Like I said, my thing is, if I'm gonna have it, you know, I'm gonna have it in its full glory.
Right.
I'm not gonna try to trick myself into believing that. I made these pancakes, but I had the sugar free. No, why? Why? It's pancakes. You're already eating a ton. You're eating cake for breakfast. Like, just call it what it is. You're eating cake. Pancakes are cake. It's
yes.
got cake in the name, all right? It's a cake that you fry in a pan. And it's not good for you. There's no such thing as a good pancake.
No, same thing with French toast. French toast is cake, too.
And I'm sorry, if you're making the all-natural, all-healthy-for-you pancakes, they're not good. They're not as good as my pancakes. I'm telling you right now, they're not. I'll put your all-vegan, all-healthy pancake against my pancake. Your pancakes are going to lose. Your pancakes are going to lose because it's not the same. It is not the same thing. You want it. Like, if I'm gonna have it, I'm gonna have it. You know? When I do my fight camp and things like that, I try to stick with foods that aren't like trying to trick my body. So,
okay.
I've seen recipes for healthy pancakes. No, fuck that. Not doing that. Not doing that. You know, I'd rather just do something that's just a regular thing. So, maybe I'll have, you know, an omelet. I've gotten really good at making omelets in, stainless steel pans now. I'm a master at that shit. Doesn't stick or anything. Moves around the pan. I'm great at it now. So yeah, I'll have an omelet for breakfast. I just won't have pancakes. I won't have pancakes. Now when I'm not in fight camp, pancakes whenever I fucking want. You know, find some syrup. I'll even get the, this might be a tool. You know, I don't know how many people love this shit, but I loved it because it's super syrupy and shit, like sugary and shit like that. King syrup. That's my fucking syrup. I fucking love that shit. I know some people don't like it. It's too much. But King syrup is my fucking syrup. I love that shit. I will put that on my pancakes, and I'm in heaven.
I have to find it. I don't think I've ever tried that before.
King, it's like, it's almost like molasses, but it's not.
Okay.
It's thick like it, but it's syrup, and it's so good. It's just not good for you at all. Not even close to being good for you at all. I know it's not good for you, 'cause I can look at it. Just the way it comes out of the bottle, I'm like, oh, this is nothing good about this at all.
Oh, but I'm about to eat the shit out of it.
Oh, I'm gonna eat the shit out of it though. Yeah, cause like I said, when I'm not worrying about that shit. Oh yeah, again, don't go crazy with it, but why not? Treat yourself every now and then. You know, give yourself a big piece of cake
and enjoy it to the fullest. What is your favorite thing to eat that you do make?
Let's see, favorite thing that I make. What would it be? You know, anything I grill. Because I like grilling. So is it that time? Actually, I don't like grilling in the summertime. But my grilling time, anybody who follows me on Twitter or, you know, knows me on Facebook or anything like that knows that my favorite grilling times are winter and fall.
Yes.
Snowing. I love fucking snow grilling. That shit is awesome. But, yeah, I make turkey legs on the grill. Grilled turkey legs with a glaze. Like you get at the amusement parks and stuff like that. Those big, giant turkey legs they give you in the aluminum foil. Mm-hmm. I got a recipe for that. I'll make the fuck out of that. These steaks on the grill. My new favorite now is these Old Bay chicken wings. I gotta find that recipe, and that's been good. So anything on the grill, some of my favorite things to make. I haven't done it in a while, but I also like making ribs. Yeah, I haven't done ribs in a while, but yeah.
That sounds delicious. What is your favorite food that you stash from others? You go, I'm not sharing this with nobody.
Oh man, ah. There is, you know what? so my last girlfriend didn't like frosting on things. So it was, I had to stash things like my butterscotch crimpets.
What is that?
Those are the little Hostess cake things. They're like the butterscotch crimpets thing. Oh, they're so fucking good. I fucking love them shits. They're just amazing. But I used to have to hide them because if I started eating them, she'd want some, but she'd take the frosting off of them. And that's just wrong.
Oh, that's a waste.
That's just wrong. That's just wrong. It was just wrong. She would like, so she would eat one, but it would have all the frosting off of it, and I would just look at her in disgust. That's probably why we didn't work out. She didn't like milkshakes either, so I don't know what I was thinking. So, but yeah, you know, honestly, I don't really hide anything from people. I just tell them if it's something I really like, I just tell them you gotta get your own, because I'm gonna eat the fuck out of this. So
that's one thing about having your own, because with me and Roderick, it's like a free for all. And this might sound fun, but I had to get used to me and Roderick when we first got married, because it was always been me and my mama, and I never ate her stuff, and she never really ate my stuff. But with Roderick and them, if it was in the refrigerator, it was open to everybody. You know, except for his dad. His dad would label his shit and was like, you eat this, sons, I'm gonna fuck you up. But other than that, everybody would eat everything in there. So I had to get used to coming home and stuff we just ate. And I'm looking like, what the fuck, son? And I remember one time when we first got married, like, you know how when you're grown for the first time, you're like, I'm going to spend my money on what I want to spend my money on. So I was like, hey, I want some Captain Crunch. So I bought like a box of Captain Crunch, and he was on his health kick. So he got some honey bunches of oats, some healthy shit. So I came home. I was like, oh, I'm eating me some cereal. And I opened up and all my Captain Crunch was gone. And there was nothing but some bullshit I didn't want. And I'm glad he wasn't home, because I stood in front of, if you'd have walked in there, you thought I was a mad woman. I stood there and fussed for 10 minutes cussing him out because he hates my goddamn cereal.
Yeah, that's the worst, because it's like, you know, you have your mouth watering
for that
one thing, and you know, you come and you're just gone. You're just like, fuck you mean? It's fuck you mean you ate the Captain Crunch? You don't even like it. You don't even want the Captain Crunch, right? You know? That's always the worst when you're with somebody. Because you ask them specifically, are you sure you don't want this? No, I'm not going to have it. I'm like, are you sure you don't want this? No, I'm not. You're good. Then they start eating. And you're like, I thought you didn't want any of this. Thought you weren't going to eat any of it. I just wanted yours. No,
like, you don't understand, like it, and the funny part about it is that I was sitting there going and fussing, going, well, if he'd have wanted it, I'd have bought two boxes. But you know what? After about that 10-minute rant, that's when I realized I was motherfucking grown. I kept saying, all you gotta do is go across the street and buy some more. Yeah, that's when you know you become an adult.
Oh, you know, one of my favorite meals that I haven't had, and shit, now that I'm thinking about it, it's so bad for me. But I'm probably going to end up doing. And I don't do it because it's white rice. White rice with, it's kind of like almost like a rice pudding. It's white rice, some vanilla abstract, mm-hmm. extract and some sugar and some butter. Mix it all together. A bowl of rice. Yeah, I'll eat the fuck out of that. Yeah. Yeah. My mom somehow introduced me to that shit, and it is the worst meal I could ever fucking eat because it's just nothing but white rice. It's just not good for you. And then you add sugar, butter into it as well. Yeah. No. No. Love eating that shit, though.
That's the one you got to strike at every now and then. Man, you eat that all the time. Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. And that's the problem. It's like, that was a meal that when I'm in college, it was easy to make because white rice, sugar, butter, and this vanilla extract. Oh. That's easy to get. You're in college, you're on a budget. That's some easy shit.
Yes, it is.
You can get a bag of white rice for like $2?
It'll last you forever.
It'll last you forever. So that was an easy meal, especially when I was in the apartments and we had a kitchen. We can make our own food. That was an easy meal to make, so I'm eating that shit all the time, and it was fine because my metabolism's high. I'm younger. I can do that. Try to do that shit when you're older. You should do that shit for like a month. You're going to gain so much weight.
You'll be almost double the triple your size.
And have no idea where it came from, you know? Yeah.
You'll be there looking all crazy. What is your favorite thing to drink? Non-alcoholic, alcoholic, or both?
Favorite thing to drink. Because normally I'm drinking water. Or tea. Okay. You know, when I'm in my, gotta get into shape, gotta be, healthy and stuff like that. Now, when I'm not, that Simply Lemonade.
Yeah.
I got some of that, matter of fact, on Sunday. So I got some of that in the fridge right now. So,
Have you had that Simple Limeade?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what I like to do with the Simple Limeade? I like to take that and mix it with some Firefly Sweet Tea Vodka. What you talking about? Delicious, Chris.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
When it comes to drinking, my standard for like alcoholic drinks is just a Captain and Coke. Or when I don't want the soda, because I try not to have as much soda anymore. I rarely drink soda. I put it this way. I cut my soda with liquor. So if I'm having, I don't just have Coca-Cola. I have Coca-Cola cut with Bacardi. To cut the taste out of the soda, because soda is just so bad for you. But alcoholic drinks is Captain or some kind of rum, and I'll have some kind of sweet tea. That's usually pretty good. And or I've been doing, if I just want to go straight liquor, the honey jack has been a nice little good thing.
That whiskey.
Yeah, because what I can do is if I don't drink it, I don't like drinking liquor straight. What I can do is I can put that in my tea. So I'll have some tea, some green tea or something like that, and I'll add, instead of adding honey to it, I'll add the honey jack to it. And, yeah, it's a nice little mellow drink you can drink and just sip on that, and be nice.
Ooh, let me tell you what I do with that. I'll take that and I'll take some apple juice, just regular apple juice, and put some of that whiskey and put it on ice. And I tell you, that is delicious. It sounds like the weirdest combo ever.
No.
It is awesome. It goes down so smooth.
I can imagine. You know what? Here's the thing, because also I'm a big kid. Tell me this all the time, 32, but I'm the biggest kid in the world. Chocolate fucking milk.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Like, there are some days where I'm just like, I want something sweet, but I don't want to go. Like, I'll sometimes treat myself sometimes when I'm in camp and I'm doing really good in my training camp and I'm losing weight, I'm on target my weight, and I want to kind of cheat on my meal. I don't usually have a lot of cheat days in my 8 weeks, but sometimes I will. You know what I'll do? I'll get some chocolate milk.
And you know what, Chris? There's nothing wrong with that. Me and Roderick's motto is that we don't ever want to grow up. And people joke with us. But that's one reason why we don't have kids and why we waste money on video games and all movies and all other kind of bullshit, because we don't ever want to grow up. Me and Roderick are, let me see, we're both 36. And Roderick's daddy has always laughed at us because he say, you two are grown, but he says you two are like adult children. He was like, you pay your own bills and all that stuff. He said, but then I turned around and y'all talk about video games, and then I turn around and y'all go and watch the Lego movie. So it's one of those things where, Chris, it's okay. It's all right, because you know, when you grow up, grown people are boring. I can't speak for nobody else, but grown people are boring to me. Like, people that try to be adults and think that nothing's funny and all that shit, I can't rock with you.
Oh, no. Fuck that. I enjoy, to me, being an adult means you can do all the things you wanted to do as a kid, but were told no.
Right.
You know, and I'm taking full advantage of that.
Me too. You know what I do? I do bullshit like this. I will eat my goddamn dessert first. Why? Because I am grown and I can't.
Right. I'll have breakfast. It used to be breakfast for dinner was something that you did. You know, it was like a treat. Now it's like, yes. Fuck it. You know what I want tonight? Pancakes.
And your ass is going in and make you some.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make me some fucking pancakes. You know? Because I can. Why not? You know, you got to enjoy life. And I think that's the biggest thing that when it comes to what I eat and dieting and things like that, that people don't understand is, like, it shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be something that you hate doing. This is why I hate calling it dieting.
Yeah.
I'm trying new things. I'm trying new recipes. I'm trying new, you know, things I make. Like, one of the things I make now is actually a really good meal I do during the week. It's really fast to do. I've just started doing it. I can make some chicken. Either I can bake it or I can pan fry it. And then I'll steam some, like, either asparagus or some green beans. And then I'll either get some portobello mushrooms or some regular mushrooms, brown those in a pan with some, like, grapeseed oil and some minced garlic. Then when I'm done, I can throw the asparagus or the green beans into that pan, stir it up a little bit. You can add some spinach to that if you want to. I'm done. And I can take that baked chicken. I have now some baked chicken, and I have some asparagus or green bean and mushroom garlic mix. You know, you can add some salt and pepper to that, season that however you want to. Easy. I make it enough of it. I can portion it off into my little Tupperware containers. I now have meals for at least 3 days.
That's good. Very creative. Yeah, and what we was talking about growing up, and when it comes to especially drinking alcohol, I was very, very naive to, like, a lot of alcohol. So as I've grown and got older, I've kind of learned what I like and I don't like. And I remember when I turned 21, I got my first Long Island iced tea, and it was delicious. So I have been drinking them for years. So about a few years ago, Roderick told me that Long Island iced tea don't got sweet tea in it. And I looked at him like he told me Santa Claus wasn't real. I was like, what do you mean? It's called goddamn Long Island iced tea. He was talking about they do that because of the Coke. So that shows you how naive I am to a lot of things.
Yeah. No, there's so much liquor that they put into that Long Island.
That's
iced tea,
what he says.
Damn drop of fucking tea in that shit.
That's what he said. He looked at me like, do you know that's like one of the strongest drinks you can drink? He's got like 7, 8, 9 alcohols in it. I was like, word?
Yeah, Long Island iced tea is, that used to be my drink too. That was my go-to drink when I was, when I go to the bar and stuff like that. I'd order a Long Island iced tea and they would fucking, that shit was, yeah. Them joints is, if they make them right too, it's delicious and strong, and it will have you fucked up.
Yeah, you take that. It's time to take a nap.
Oh, yeah.
My last question for you, Chris. What is the worst thing you ever cooked or ate?
Oh, so the first thing that I ever cooked or ate was, it wasn't me. It was my mom. She made for us these cheese grits. And I don't know what kind of recipe she used for it. It was like a cheese grits casserole or something like that. Or something like that. And it was just disgusting. We were on vacation and she made it. And we ate it. And it was so bad because me and my sister didn't want to eat it. And normally our dad is like, well, you got to eat it. She made it. Even my dad was like, nah. He was like, Tracy, no, don't.
If dad is speak up, you know it's serious, don't you?
Right, because you know, parents are on the same wavelength. Even if it's bad, it's like it still got to be good. You got to fake it.
Yeah, don't be hurting your mama's feelings.
No, he was like, listen, no, this because it wasn't even my mom's fault. Like, she followed anything wrong. It was the recipe itself.
Okay.
She did everything it was said to do in the recipe, and the recipe was just a bad recipe. It just did not taste good. You know, and it was like the first time I never really had. Like, there's some things my mom made that I didn't like, and stuff like that. But like I said, it wasn't her fault. It was just like, it was just a disgusting thing. And I was just like, no, it was just, oh my God. Yeah, it was horrendous. So yeah, no, I don't know what that was, but it was fucking pretty good. It was like some kind of cheese grit casserole or something. It was just disgusting. Or maybe it was like a, I don't know what it was, but it was bad. Really, really fucking bad. Disgusting. Yeah. It was traumatizing.
As a kid, he was like, mama, traumatizing no, as a kid.
No, because I had, because it had one of those aftertaste to it that you had to, yeah, because like, so you ate it and the first bite was bad enough, but then it had an aftertaste that was worse. You had to like eat something else or drink something else to kind of get that taste out of your mouth. So it was so traumatizing.
Your dad is like, look, baby, you ain't going to torture the kids.
Right. It was like, they call CPS or some shit, yo. It was bad, yo.
And take her away for child abuse.
Oh my God, so bad, so bad. So, yeah, that would probably be the worst thing I ever had. And like I said, I'm usually pretty open. I mean, even if something I don't like, you know, I'll mess around with it and see. But I'm usually pretty open to trying new things, you know.
That sounded traumatizing. I don't even know what it is, but the way you describe it, I don't think I want none of that.
No, you definitely do not.
Thank you very much, Chris, for doing the show with me. And before we go, tell the people how to get in contact with you.
You can find me on Twitter, Insanity Report on Twitter. I'm also on, you can get us at movietrailerreviews.net. Our contact information is there. You can email us. Also, facebook.com/movietrailerreviews. You can follow us there. And for our Insanity Check show, and for movie trailer reviews, our movie reviews, you can get them on Stitcher and on iTunes. Search for Insanity Check for the Insanity Check podcast, or search movie trailer reviews for the movie reviews and like the Playing Dead podcast and anything like that. You can get them from both of those on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. So those are the best way to contact us. And yeah, thank you, Karen. I mean, here's the thing. Karen and Rod are two of my favorite people on the internet, and I love them. And when Rod hit me up and asked me about doing the interview for this, I was so excited because I was like, yes, I finally made it. I'm getting interviewed by one half of the Black Eye Tips. This is awesome. I'm so down for this. I'm in. Tell me when. I will do it. So, yes, thank you so much for having me on and doing this.
No. It's really fun. Thank you, Chris. This has been a blast. Thank you, Chris. And for those of you out there in the Black Guy Who Tips premium land, you got an insight into Chris from Insanity Check. I know for a lot of y'all, he's your favorite podcaster. So this is a eye-opening experience for a lot of you. And I want to tell Chris, thank you for taking out the time to do this for us. And for those of you out there, thank you for enjoying and listening to another episode of Lip Smacking Good. Have a good one, guys. Peace.